Now this morning I want to share with you on this topic, the work of the Holy Spirit in missions. But before we look at the topic itself, we want to understand more on the person of the Holy Spirit. Now there are some people who say that Bible-believing churches like ours gave very little emphasis on the person of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to say that this is not true. We believe in the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of every Christian and in the church. We believe He dwells in every one of us. He gives us understanding of the Word of God. He keeps us from doing the wrong things by bringing to our remembrance the teaching of God's Word. Now the Holy Spirit is our guide. He is also the guide of the church. He directs the ministry of the church. He adds to the church the people who are saved. He sent pastors, preachers, and teachers to the church. No one comes to this church by chance. He brought us here. No one serves as a pastor, preacher, or teacher by chance. He calls us to serve Him. The Holy Spirit is actively involved in the ministries of the church. He's in the Sunday school classes. He's in the fellowship groups. And I want us to see this morning that He is actively involved in our mission work. Now the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. We believe in a triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They coexist, they are co-equal, and they co-reign. The Father is equal to the Son, and the Son is equal to the Holy Spirit. They are also equal in power. The Holy Spirit is a person, and as a person, He is very sensitive. The Bible tells us that He is sensitive to sin. In Acts chapter 5, we have the incident of a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira lying to Him. The Bible says that they died instantly. Now, Paul warned us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. But oftentimes, we grieve Him by our disobedience and sin. We thank God that we can repent and find forgiveness and be restored to God. Now Paul tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Therefore, we must keep our body holy. We do not sin with our body. We do not do anything to harm the body. Now in Acts chapter 13, we have a record of Paul's first missionary journey. And we are told that he had a traveling companion by the name of Barnabas. They had a very successful trip. Many Gentiles came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon, they encountered opposition. The Bible tells us that the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. And then we are told that Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to a place called Iconium. And the Bible also tells us in chapter 13 verse 52 that the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now Paul and Barnabas were persecuted, but they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. For many people, these experiences will be very discouraging. But for Paul and Barnabas, they were joyful despite the hardship. This is because the missionary and devil started right. Now what is then is a right start in mission work? It is to start with the Holy Spirit. Now before I go further, now this entire message may sound like a message for a missions conference. Well, it is about Paul's missionary endeavors. But I want us to see this morning that the Holy Spirit is in control of every affair of our lives. And of course, this morning we are talking particularly in the area of missions. So I want to outline the message, and the first point will be the Holy Spirit sent Paul and Barnabas out to do the work of missions. Now this first outline tells us that Paul and Barnabas were sent out by God, and in particular the Holy Spirit. Now we read this in Acts chapter 13, and I would like you to turn to the passage in Acts chapter 13 verses 1 to 4. Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Let's read together. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, this verse tells us clearly that it was God who sent Paul and Barnabas into the mission field. And this is the start of their first missionary journey. So I want you to see that missionary work starts with the calling of the Holy Spirit. We are told that they fasted, and then the Holy Spirit came, spoke to them, because we were told that the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein, whereunto I have called them." Okay, so we see that God, in His sovereignty, chose Barnabas and Paul. And I want you to see that when God chose them and God gave them a mission, God indicates, God tells them very clearly. So they say that it was God who separated me and Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry that they were called to. Now this is a very important point. Missionaries must be very sure that the Holy Spirit is calling them to the mission field. And in this case, we see that Paul and Barnabas were very certain. And so in chapter 13 verse 4, the Bible says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and then they sailed to Cyprus." Now, this is the calling of Paul and Barnabas into the mission field. And I want to say this, that every one of us must be very certain in our life that this is how God is leading us. For Paul and Barnabas, they were about to make a very important decision. We do make important decisions in our life. Right? And the safest way to make sound decision is to seek God. It's to be very sure that the Holy Spirit is leading us in our lives. Now, we believe in God. We believe He's powerful. We believe He's all-knowing. Right? Therefore, we should also believe that He would be very clear in leading us, in directing us in our life's affair. So I want to encourage each one of us to seek God. Commit whatever decision that we have to make to God. I want to tell you, you'll be very sure that God will lead you in His way. Right. So the first point is this, that the missionary is called by God. Right. Now, I do not know whether God is working in your life in this way. And what I'm saying is that God wants you to serve Him as a missionary. And I hope that you have that desire. You know? And I want to tell you that it is not wrong to have that desire to serve Him as a missionary. But we know that ultimately it is God who calls. Right? And when He calls, He will make it known to you very clearly that this is His calling for you to become a missionary. But I want and I hope that there are young men, young women that have this desire to serve God. And we need people who are willing to give their life to serve God. The second thing we want to see regarding the Holy Spirit in mission is this, that He leads us to the right place and the right people. Okay, and then we come to our text this morning in Acts chapter 16. Now in Acts chapter 16 verses 1 and 2, then came He to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed by his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Now, in Acts chapter 16, we have Paul embarking on his second missionary journey. Okay? Now, he started his first journey directed by the Holy Spirit, and we believe that the second journey was also directed by the Holy Spirit. And in this record in chapter 16, we want to see that, first of all, the Holy Spirit led Paul to the right place. Now, I have been a missionary. And when I decide to go to a certain place to serve the Lord as a missionary, I want to be sure that it is God who is directing me to that place. And when I'm sure that that is God's leading, I'm sure that there will be success. So here we see that the Holy Spirit led Paul to the right place. And in chapter 16, verse 1, we are told that Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra. Now, I want you to see something here. I want you to see that Paul was actually making a courageous decision. Right? Because earlier on in Lystra, Paul had been stoned, dragged out of the city, and we are told that he was thrown into the garbage heap. That is in chapter 14. And in chapter 14, we were told that there was a man crippled. And then Paul and his companion healed this crippled man. And the people worshipped him, or worshipped them as gods. They ran away. And then in verse 19 of chapter 14, we are told that the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium to persecute the people, and they stoned Paul. So, I want you to see this. In chapter 14, Paul was persecuted. Now, in chapter 16, verse 1, we are told that Paul returned to Lystra. Okay. And I say that that was a courageous decision. And how did Paul make that decision? He made it because he knew that it was the Holy Spirit's leading for him to go back to Lystra. I mean, if you are persecuted in a certain place, you do not want to go back. But Paul returned because he knew that this is where God wanted him to be. So I say that the Holy Spirit leads us, or missionaries, to the right place of service. And I want to apply this in our lives. Now I want to say that God leads us to church, and in particular to this church, not by chance. You know, God led you here so that you can worship and serve Him here. None of us, in that sense, make a decision without the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Remember, He indwells us. And this morning, He's the one who puts in us the desire to come and worship Him. And I hope that all of us can feel that the Holy Spirit is working in us, giving us a desire to come to worship Him. Not only that the Holy Spirit leads Paul to the right place, we see that the Holy Spirit led Paul to the right people. Now, in chapter 16, we are told that Paul met with this disciple named Timothy. And then there was a short description of who Timothy is. His mother was a Jew and the father a Greek. And then we are also told in 2 Timothy that he had a grandmother by the name of Lois. So Timothy had a godly heritage, and he was privileged to come under the discipleship of the Apostle Paul. Okay. When did Paul meet Timothy? Well, it is most likely when he was in Lystra on the first visit. Okay, and that was the visit where he was persecuted. And that is the time when Timothy and the mother came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then by the second visit, Timothy would have been an older youth. The Bible commentators think that he would be in his 20s by this time. And we are told that he has established a good reputation among the believers in Lystra and Iconium. In other words, Timothy's faith had been established, firmly established. How? Well, probably he has seen the stoning of the Apostle Paul. You know, remember in Acts chapter 14? Okay. And that strengthened his faith. Some people get disheartened when persecution or opposition comes to their lives. But there are others who are strengthened by the fact that their faith is challenged. I hope we are people of that second group, right? That when we face opposition, we learn to trust in God. And our faith is strengthened. So we see that Timothy's faith was strengthened after seeing Paul suffering for the faith. Not only that, Paul found a partner in his missionary work in the person of Timothy, I want you to see something else. And if you look at chapter 16 and verse 10, In Acts chapter 16, verse 10, the verse reads, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Now, I want you to mark the personal pronoun, "we" and "us." Okay? Now, if you read that personal pronoun there, you'll be wondering, who are the "we"? Remember, the book of Acts was written by Luke. Okay? And so Luke had included himself in that verse. So Acts chapter 16, verse 10, is what is known as the beginning of the "we" section of the book of Acts. In other words, whenever you see "we," okay, Luke included himself in the account. And in this case, Luke is saying that he has joined Paul in his missionary work. So what I want you to see is this, that God raised up right people to help Paul in his ministry. Now I want to apply it to our church. Alright. New Life here has a task force. There are only two persons in the task force. A very small group, in a sense, in leadership. But the church needs all of you to be involved in the ministry. Yes, the church does not need all of us to be decision makers, but we need people to be serving the Lord. We know that number is strength. And if all of us can be involved in the ministry, we can do very much more for the kingdom of God here, in this city and in this place. And then in the work of evangelism, if each one of us would do our part in reaching someone, the number will grow. In fact, it will be quite staggering. Okay? I mean, you imagine there are only about 20, slightly more than 20 of us here this morning. And if we decide to reach out to someone, be it our family members, our colleagues, our friends, our classmates, and we take the next 3 months or even 6 months to reach out to that person, by the end, by September, let's say, okay, this person come with you to church. And if every one of us does that, you know, there will be about 40 people in the church. We need God to raise you up. We need God to touch your heart to see that you have a place in the ministry of the church. I want to encourage those of you who are in leadership that God in His right time will raise up people for you to help you. Okay? When? I'm sure God will in His time. So now Paul has Timothy, he has Luke with him in the ministry. Now, last thing we want to see is this, that the Holy Spirit enables the workers to strengthen the churches. Please look at chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, and were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Alright, we're told that the churches were established and it is in the faith and the number increased daily. Alright, how we wish that this is true in our church, right? That the number increased daily. If not daily, weekly. I want you to see here that it is the working of the Holy Spirit in establishing the church in the faith and also in the giving of the increase. So we let God work first in our lives, and then we see God will work in the lives of the church. We need to be established in the faith, in other words, in the truth. Do we know the truth? Now, when we talk about the truth, we are talking about a body of belief that we should embrace, right? And we should know what we believe in. We should be certain that this is what the Bible wants us to believe. And I want to say this, we should be certain that we are going to the Lord Jesus Christ when our life's journey on earth comes to an end. Now, this is so important. I hope none of us would doubt and wonder if I will be saved in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ eventually. The promise of the scripture is, you believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the certainty, because that is the promise from God's word. So I want you to see that the Holy Spirit sends missionaries into the mission field. He sends teachers, He sends pastors, then He raised up workers for the church. And then lastly, I want you to see that it is the Holy Spirit Himself who is establishing the church and also add numbers to the church. Now, I always look at these two things in sequence. And the sequence is this. First of all, we must be established in the faith. We must be grounded in the truth. Then can God give us the increase in number. Right. So perhaps God is using this transitory time to establish us in the faith. And when come a time, in His good pleasure, He grant us the increase in number. So in conclusion of my message, I want to say this, that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And I want us to be aware of that. Even in very simple things in our daily life, you know, what we do, where we go, how we behave. And I said earlier on that the Holy Spirit will prompt us. Should we go in the wrong direction? We should be very sensitive with the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. He's in us. Now, I want to say this, that the Holy Spirit does not leave us. Okay? It is wrong to say that the Holy Spirit would depart from us because we have sinned, and then He comes back to us when we are restored to God. Now, that is a wrong teaching. Right? It is clear from the scripture that the Holy Spirit indwells us at the very point in time when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But Paul tells us that we must not grieve Him. We must not grieve Him by making decisions that we know that is wrong, and a decision that will result in our sinning against God. May God preserve us, keep us faithful. And then my heart's desire is this, that in the near future, God in His will raise up a young man or even a young woman to serve Him, to give his or her life for the work of the ministry. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit, and He guides us, He leads us. He also comforts us in time when we are sad. So Lord, you know each one of our needs. You know what is in our hearts. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to direct us so that we will walk pleasing in your sight, so that we may shine for you as a light, that others may see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. So I commit your people into your loving hand. I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.